T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Yeah, Wednesday. Welcome in Grant and Danny on 106.7 The Fan. Danny is at home in D.C. I'm at Cape Charles in the eastern shore of Virginia. How are you, Mr. Rouye?
We doing all right, my friend. I realized I barely went outside yesterday. Like, I was barely outdoors. It was so gross and so nasty. It was like that soup feeling. Like, you get outside, you're just in minestrone, you know? It's just so humid and gross. All we did at one point, basically, outdoors was my children were just, the kettle was boiling over. The pot was boiling over. My wife had legitimate work to do. And I was like, well, we don't want to walk. It's gross. I just fired him in the car, and we drove around for an hour and a half during what would have been rush hour in Washington, D.C. This just, nothing about this is normal. Nothing. And even normalcy about what we've been doing over the last weeks and months, you just, like, it hits you like a ton of bricks when I'm going at 5:20. I'm like, I should probably, we haven't been down through Georgetown, down into Foggy Bottom and, drive around Independence Avenue, Constitution Ave during rush hour, what would be rush hour. I should probably do that. Let's let the kids see the monuments at, from like 5 to 6:30 on a weekday. It's so surreal. It's so weird. And yet here we are.
So you didn't actually have any type of payoff on the trip? Like, you didn't stop and do ice cream?
No.
Or you didn't get a snack?
No.
You drove? And yeah. Then you pulled them out of the car 90 minutes later back at home, and they had not gone anywhere.
Pretty much, yeah. We just did a big loop-de-loop, and they were in the air conditioning, and that was kind of the only mission. It was just to provide some peace. And again, because I'm useless in general, but especially so when I'm down here in this laundry room bunker during the show, I can't parent. I can't do much of anything. The occasional emergency will spill over, and I can take a minute and a half during a commercial break to try to help out. But, my wife's trying to, do a real job and, parent our children, which is a huge, huge undertaking, especially because they're dramatically different needs and awful at times, whatever. But, so it's, basically the afternoon. It's, whatever I can do, we're just playing just sort of field medicine, just playing invisible, wall defense like a mime in a town square, just trying to figure out a way to keep them away from her so she can actually do some things at her actual job. So that's what I did. It'll never not be weird for me to say we should probably just go for a drive. Like, it's being in traffic gives me crippling anxiety. And I'm not alone on that, by the way. I'm not special in that kind of regard. Like, I'm the guy that hates traffic, but I just hate it so much. And here I am at rush hour in the first or second worst trafficked place typically in the world, or at least in our hemisphere, just sort of casually driving around during a weekday. It's bizarre.
The only traffic I've really found during any of the pandemic is 95 South, which is unrelenting no matter what's going on. I feel like there could be nobody left on the planet somehow, and there would just be a bunch of cars stopping traffic on 95 South. But it's actually been pretty nice here. Like, the mornings, the evenings are very comfortable. It's right around, 83 to 85 in the middle of the day. And for me, that's unpalatable and off-putting, and I don't really do going outside for extended periods of time. I consider myself a sixth man. I'm going to give you short spurts. So, if we go to the beach, I'm going for an hour, and just like the baby. I start crying and getting upset in the sand after, 60 minutes. I got a timer on me, and then I come back to the house. So, I don't mess around outside, but it's been way grosser, I feel like, and just stomach turning, in that nauseating almost heat you guys have had. Because I saw over the weekend, someone did the bit where they took the picture of, like, their car thermostat. It was over 100 degrees.
Yeah, it's felt that way.
It's awful. So yeah, I guess so it was gross. A good time for us to get out. We're coming back to the area now. But, man, that's brutal. Air conditioning is superior. And I'm going to stay inside as much as I can. The problem is getting other people to agree with you. Like, if it was up to me, I'd never eat a meal outside. Like, I would probably just go straight to the beach and back. But, you know, you got to opt in to other people's ideas, too. So you try to do what you can. But I've been doing – this is how nice it is at night. I've been doing little fire pits here at night. It's breezy. You're right on the water and on the bay, and you've got it's not cool by any means, but you got enough moving air that it's not hot to sit there by a fire. So it's been nice.
The one thing I've never quite understood about people, and I know I'm right about this, and I know other people are not right, and it just I have to accommodate. As you said, you have to do things for other people too sometimes. You know what I mean? Like, you just have to be uncomfortable. That's kind of what being an adult is. But you know how some people like to eat outside when it's hot? I mean, I'm talking about, like, when it's miserable outside, and they're like, let's eat outside. And you're going, no? What if we didn't do that? What if we ate in comfort? Like, eating and schwitzing is the worst. Like, that's the worst. But people opt into this. They'll go, oh, it's nice out. It's not nice out. It's super hot out. But you know what I'm talking about? They'll have this
Definitely.
Desperate desire to eat outside in the utter discomfort of the hot, humid outdoors. I get eating outside when it's mild, springtime, fall, delightful seasons for grownups. But the eating outside in summer misery is just bizarre to me.
Yeah, I thought about you last night, not just when I was debating whether or not we'd eat outside, which is something that you and I are right on, but I was having a conversation with a buddy who is involved as a teacher back in the area about one of the school districts in our vicinity. And they're kind of having parents now vote, I think, is the way they're doing this on, like, in the fall. Do your kids go to school full-time virtually and just do everything online? Do you go to school a couple days a week? But as of right now, in this particular area, 5 days a week of sending your kids to school is just not on the table. And I'm just, you know, if you're older, if you got a high school or middle school aged kid who are self-sufficient, they can, you know, get themselves up and dress themselves and keep themselves company all day long and get on the computer and do their work. That's one thing. And it probably, honestly, if you're upper high school, prepares you fairly well for college in a way that, you know, what you and I were doing didn't quite prepare you for with that individuality and some of the, you know, time management things you've got to figure out. But if you've got younger kids, if we're only doing a couple days a week of school,
nope.
I just don't know how people can work and take care of
they
their
cannot.
Kids. It is baffling to me. And people say, well, they used to do it all the time. But they used to do a lot of things. You know, that you used to have people in the family that were just stay-at-home parents, you know, almost in every single family. Like now, with both parents working, it's the times have changed. And I just don't know how the expectation is going to be that companies are as effective or efficient, that jobs are getting done the way they're supposed to, and you're watching your kids. Because people who actually have real-life jobs where they're, you know, wearing pantsuits and jackets to work and when they're sitting on a computer firing off emails, you can't do that and care for a three-year-old. It's just
correct.
Impossible.
This is correct. I can't remember the name of the author, and I wish I could, but she is one of my new heroes, has been writing about this regularly in a number of publications, New York Times, etc. Basically, she's like every parent is going through the exact same thing that we all are, and they're pulling their hair out as they're watching these conversations. It's like people have never even heard of kids, what they're actually talking about. And listen, it sounds like we don't care about the safety of teachers and administrators. Of course we do. Everybody
well, that's
cares
a big part
safety.
Of it, too.
Of course everybody cares.
I said to them, I said, you know what the kids, you know, they go and maybe they're going to be okay. The numbers seem okay. And they're like, what about teachers? And it's true. You've got old teachers, just like you've got young teachers. You've got probably teachers at high risk based on health, just like you've got some in-shape teachers. It's not like they're all Joe Ross, you know, where they've got abs and pecs and they're 28 years old.
And we are sympathetic. And I can't stress how sympathetic I am to that. There's nothing that's ideal. But the phrase that this author used was, and I quote, figuring this out is an emergency. Figuring this out is an emergency, a.k.a. children being back in school. for, I mean, the number of arguments are overwhelming. It has to do with childhood development. It has to do with social skills. It has to do with this critical time for learning for kids that are like 4 through basically 13. I mean, not being in school is disastrous. Then you add in the parental element. You add in everything from mental health to as you correctly stated, the complete and utter inability to do either. So what you're basically saying to parents is you can't do your job and you also can't do a good job of educating your kids because, A, you're not trained in it. B, you're trying to do both things and it's not feasible. It's not possible. Getting the kids in school should be the only project that the adults are working on. Once that's settled and solved, and it's not easy. I'm not saying it's easy. Once that's settled and solved through everybody's best good faith efforts, then we can do the rest of it. The rest of society can go on. But it seems to be like 90th. They're like, well, let's make sure restaurants can do takeout. Cool. Awesome. I'm rooting for them, too. I want to make sure that places that I like to eat can give me my fried goods to go. I'm all in favor of that. Oh, my God, get the kids in school. Oh, my God. It's the only thing that matters. Back to you, Grant.
What I'll say to that is, because I've been fairly adamant that I think come the fall we got to figure out a way to have kids just back in school on some type of normal 5-day-a-week schedule, however they can do it. But I will say in talking last night at length to a teacher, they brought up a lot of things that either I hadn't considered or it's not even that I haven't considered them, that I have no answers for. When you talk about how do you social distance, what happens when a kid doesn't have a mask and shows up to school with symptoms, all these different things that I am not smart enough to be able to answer those questions. And it's hard for me to sit here loudly proclaiming that something needs to happen when I have no answers, right? When I have no ideas better than those that I've heard to this point. I just know that it seems like, whether you're talking about the economy and jobs and the parents being able to do what they have to do to get everything back on track and to make the money for the family. And as you said, not to mention you start talking about the kids and the fact that these kids need at a young age to be around other children. They need to go through this process that we have deemed for years and years pertinent and vital and necessary. But if I don't have answers, can I scream at people to make sure this happens? I've never been a big fan of getting upset at someone for doing something if you can't give them the answer key. And I don't have it right now. But it's certainly something that they've got to figure out as soon as they can. But as of right now, at least in some of the schools in our area, they're talking about full-time virtual online schooling in the fall. Or maybe, if you want to vote for it, you could send your kid to school like 2 days a week, which still means there's going to be a lot of time when parents are multitasking at the house. Now, he's Danny. I'm Grant. You're listening to The Fan. Today's an anniversary. What anniversary, and how does it relate to this show? You will find out next right here on The Fan. Grant and Danny welcoming you back on 106.7 The Fan. Thanks much for making the show part of your day. Yesterday was a good day, I thought, on the show. We had a fun time. We had some good segments. We had some good guests. It's great. Today's going to be a little better for a lot of reasons.
All right.
I like the guest rundown, as I always do. Joel Corey at 11:30, breaking down Pat Mahomes' contract. Going to be excellent. Former big leaguer Brandon Guyer, guy who we've gotten to know pretty well over the years in this area. Went to Herndon High School, University of Virginia, just retired from baseball. We'll talk to him about what's going on in his sport at 1 o'clock today, which will be cool. But it's also a massive anniversary today for the Grant and Danny radio program. Each
one.
And every day, Danny, you might know that Vic Ferreira puts together our segment where he goes back in time and looks at all the years of Nationals games in the past and finds the best Nationals memory for this date in Nats history. He's done a really good job, I think, don't you?
Absolutely. Absolutely. He's great at it.
Might find a walk-off hit or a big RBI knock late in the game for a comeback or something, and he scrolls through all the years of the team's history. I don't know what he's got in store for us today at right around 1:47 or so before we get out of here for this date in Nats history. We'll find out in our final segment. But I know that it won't be the actual best moment in Nats history that took place on this date. It's 2020. It's July 8th. On July 8th, 6 years ago, Danny Ruye walked into a Matt Williams press conference awkwardly made a comment to a female reporter that he felt bad about, so he kept trying to apologize to her while Matt Williams was talking. And like a teacher scolding students, Matt Williams did not take kindly to it. This was 6 years ago today.
Bothering you guys? Are we bothering you? Go ahead.
Go ahead. Because the whole time, he's looking and waiting. And then he goes back to the reporter that was going to ask a question and says, go ahead. So enough time has passed that I feel like I can actually share what actually happened. Do you think that's appropriate, or should I keep it holstered and just continue to wear it?
No, I think you can. And I don't know that you necessarily even have to say who the person was, but I think you can explain the story of what you had asked and why you felt bad. By the way, every time I listen to that clip, my takeaway as we get further and further away is just how over-the-top inappropriate it was by Matt Williams to get that upset. Like, that really does feel like a math teacher for an 11th grade class scolding some puke kid who's annoying.
Bothering like, you guys?
Can you imagine Davey Martinez doing that if someone was talking during his press conference? Now, granted, nobody really talks during press conferences because there's a decorum that is expected from pros. And in that moment, you broke that line of decorum, Danny. But come on. I mean, should he – do you really think Matt Williams was in the right to do that? Does that have anything to do with why he was such a terrible manager?
I don't know. I mean, listen, he shouldn't have had to be – he shouldn't have been put in that position. It's not fair to say, hey, deal with this thing that shouldn't be and then judge you on it. But I see your point in general. So thank you, Matt.
Go ahead.
Thank you. I'm walking down the hallway with Kristen Brissett, who at that time is the sports reporter for Channel 9, okay, WUSA 9 in D.C.
Go ahead.
And I asked, basically, hold on, Matt, stop doing that for me for 1 second, okay? We're walking down the hall. Now, what was weird is that all of a sudden we're ushered out of the open locker room and told, hey, you know, Matt's press conference is starting. So we're shuffling down with a group of people. It's not just us, but we're shuffling down there.
There's like 25 reporters kind of scattered. It's not a single file line. They all go about 30 feet down this, like the bowels of underneath the stadium, the concourse, kind of concrete walls. And you walk down and you file into the press conference for Matt Williams, who's sitting there waiting for you.
Yeah. And so there are, apparently he was in a big rush to get it done, and it sort of makeshift and announced. So they're basically only the room was a quarter full, and usually it's probably about half full on a normal game day. If Strasburg's making his debut, it's full. If it's a playoff game, it's totally full, et cetera, meant to accommodate. So we're halfway down the hallway, and I'm just making conversation. Thank you, Matt. And I asked how her fiance was. And then she told me that no longer her fiance, not actually her fiance, not a thing anymore. And I'm going, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. I didn't know that.
Bothering you guys?
Hold on, Matt. And I basically realize we're getting too close to the door, and there's a conversation that is now has to happen. And I start doing the, okay, yeah, all right, like funeral talk, basically knowing that the door is going to open and this is not the time to talk about anything personal. So I've already apologized. I've made it very clear. I hold the door open, and she's in the middle of her explanation. She's telling me something, and it's a very big personal detail, and it's something that's, not casual walk down the hallway from the locker room to the press conference type conversation. And I'm doing there like, oh, wow, okay, yeah. I'm not making any noise. I'm not the one who made noise. But
oh,
I'm coming
sure.
in. I'm telling you what happened.
Are you throwing her under the bus right now? You're blaming
I'm telling people what happened. I made the awkward comment.
Go ahead.
So then the door opens. She's talking. I'm in a pair with her because that's how we're walking down the hallway, right? We're in the ones in a conversation. I know that I'm not supposed to be talking. We're not sure that the press conference has started. We're thinking we still have several minutes before it happens. So she's talking. I get the sense that it's library time. It's very quiet. And so, are we bothering you guys? I'm guilty by association. I'm just telling you what happened. That's how the story went down. I'm at fault. Other people are at fault, too. This is information.
I love that 6 years later, now you throw her under the bus. It's all her fault. She was talking. I was a victim. I was quiet. I knew that everyone was quiet.
You can take it however you want to take it. Those are the events. That's how it happened. That's what went down. I haven't shared that on air ever. I feel like the statue of limitations is up. We're like two managers later. Matt's doing whatever he's doing. She's now on the morning show doing a bunch of different things in her life. She's very happy. Good for her. I like her. That's what happened. That's how it went down.
Bothering
That's the
you
reveal.
Guys?
That's the reveal.
But listen to how long he stares at them here. We'll play the full clip for you.
It's almost
so
9 seconds.
He says, am I bothering you guys? And I didn't realize that he was mid-press conference and you guys came in kind of late. I thought everyone was coming in at the start of the press conference.
No, because that was what was so confusing about it is it was like all of a sudden this sprint to start the presser that is – listen, I'm not there every day, but it was unusual. It was very unusual. The time from, hey, guys, we're closing the locker room. It's usually like, you know, the shuffling, doughy reporters just kind of like moving down the hallway. It's like Heist and me and – you know, and Dan Coco, who's handsome. But, like, everyone's just kind of sliding down the hallway and meandering. This is basically like if you didn't sprint, you would have missed the start of it from when they closed the locker room. It was a very weird moment.
We could have just said, if you guys walked in making a little noise, like, hey, guys, we're started already here. Hey, guys, keep it down. Instead, he does this.
Bothering you guys? Are we bothering you? Go ahead.
It's so long.
I haven't been scolded like that since I was 10. I mean, that is such a long time to just stare someone down.
And so I hid behind
your powerful seat.
Yeah, I hid behind the pillar on if you're entering the room that's straight ahead of you. So if you're Matt Williams, it's looking to the right. There's a pillar over there. I scurried behind it like I was in a third person video game, you know, just like looking for cover, like in case there's some bad guys around. I stood there against that wall, facing the back wall for the entire press conference. I was so embarrassed.
He's Danny. I'm Grant. You're listening to The Fan. Next, we will not read the entire national schedule with their off days for you, although we have considered it. I do want to talk about how tough their schedule is at some point, though, and how arduous it's going to be to play in both the American League and National East, League East this year. But let's just discuss some of the level of concern you've got for baseball coming back. Some of the problems they're having getting off the ground next. G&D right here on The Fan. Welcome back, G&D, 106.7 The Fan. We're on Twitter, at Grant H. Paulson, at Funny Danny. I actually just got a great idea from a listener, our buddy Richmond John, who tweeted, opens door to press room. Danny said, whispers to newly single woman, will you let me have my own appetizer and promise never to steal fries off my plate? Matt Williams, am I bothering you guys? But it got me thinking, at the risk of never actually starting a radio show where, you know, we plan to talk about things that matter in sports.
Uh-huh.
Maybe going around the room at least, if not taking a few calls at 800-636-1067. You know how some movies have, like, alternate endings? Or sometimes on Twitter you'll see this where someone's what do you think this guy just said to this other guy in this caption? And then they'll say, wrong answers only.
Yeah, caption this, wrong answers only, or whatever.
Right. So we know what you actually said, but wrong answers only. What do you think Danny was whispering during the press conference when Matt Williams decided he had to call him out and ruin not only his day, but probably his week or so? Wrong answers only. What was Danny actually saying at that time? 800-636-1067. I like our chances to get a good answer out of Thom and Dar.
I'm in the public place, but I'm in shock.
I came up with a couple here that I've got.
Hamburger.
Do you want mine, Danny?
Yeah, go for it.
I don't know if this is a fun segment for you or not a fun segment or
no,
where
it's,
are we
it's,
at.
Here's the thing. I have like a – you know, the obviously the overused expression, not all heroes wear capes.
All I had was me undies on.
I could put a cape on because I have borne the brunt of this incident for 6 years to protect the identity, protect the fault of the other party.
I can't believe your heel turn today, by the way. I don't know if it's the work or a shoot. Your turn is
so
heel.
It's just an event that happened. This is just something that occurred, and this is how it went. And
you're walking out of the tunnel today going, Washington, D.C., how's Robert Griffin's knee now? Like, you're just trying to get booed. You've gone 6 years basically talking about what happened without ever throwing anyone under the bus, and today you're just a victim in the whole thing.
Not a victim. Again, I'm at fault, and this is what everybody – you're trying to paint – you're doing the thing where you go, so you're saying – nope, I told everyone what happened. So you're telling us? Nope, I told you exactly what happened. So it's your interpretation, and that's fine for you guys. You guys can interpret however you want. So you're telling me that you're a victim? Nope, I didn't say that. What I said was here are the events that led up to it. And I've never revealed that on the radio before. And all of you know that I've revealed it privately to you, and you're doing a bit where you're, like, making me out to be the bad guy. Make way for the bad guy. So let me tell you. Yes, you know what? In fact, give me your wrong answers only.
I want a Mustang.
Yes, very much. Thank you, Danny.
I'll give you one of mine first.
Please.
I think you were whispering when Matt Williams said, am I bothering you guys? I think you were saying, I can't properly evaluate power forwards or big wide receivers. That's what I think you were trying to get across to Kristen Bursette.
I know you broke up with your fiance, but I can't properly evaluate big wide receivers.
That's what I think was happening.
That made me laugh. Listen, I know I asked you about your fiance.
Wrong answers only. Wrong answers only. What was Danny Ruhier saying when Matt Williams cut him off?
I mean, I've been playing some of my suggestions. I like this one.
I'm Danny. Happy birthday. New year, everybody.
What?
Happy birth. I was trying to say happy birth of a new year. Happy birthday, new year. I don't know. That's probably going in the bad highlight reel. Chad Diggs versus the world is up next. Whatever.
He could have been saying happy birthday, new year.
It's very possible, Danny, that you said happy birthday, new year. And then the person that you said it to looked at you and said, wait, what? And you had to explain what you were trying to say. You were trying to say happy birth of a new year.
We balling you guys? We balling you?
Oh, man.
Dar, what do you think Danny might have been saying? Wrong answers only, obviously.
Allow me to tell you.
Hey, let's talk.
Who's here?
We got it on the line. Hello. Hello.
That's the worst one. That's the worst one.
Hey, let's talk who's here.
That's the worst one. That's the one.
I want to hear that one in full, actually. Danny, you got to give the quick backstory. And the reason I always over-explain these, I know our P1s love them, but there's always someone hearing these for the first time that has no idea what we're doing. And I just remember listening to Jim Rome back in the day, and I would go segments at a time, and I would have no idea what was going on, and it always annoyed me. So I just try to include as many people as possible.
No, I get you.
So go ahead and try to explain what this clip's about.
Early summertime, we're doing a Beltway Blitz, right? And UVA is in the College World Series. Not much news is going on with anybody else. So we're going to have a guest who does play-by-play. I'll never forget his name now. It's Channing Poole. But we're going to have a guy that does play-by-play for UVA baseball on the Beltway Blitz. It's very unusual. We have a normal rotating group of folks. So I write down the names of the people on the Beltway Blitz. Usually, I'll write down, Jesse Docherty. I'll write down, you know, Chase Hughes or J.P. Finley. I'll write those names down so I remember them. Instead, what I did this time was UVA baseball. It's not a person's name. That you can't address someone by UVA baseball. You don't know what that person's name is. It's time for me to ask the question. I look down to call the name of the human being I'm about to address on the radio.
And panic.
And it says UVA baseball, and I panic. And I panic like you wouldn't believe.
We got it on the line. Hello.
What is that?
We got it. We got it on the line.
What is that?
Hey, let's talk who's here.
Do you ever say his name, by the way?
No, because I didn't know it.
Do you ever say Channing Poole?
No, I didn't know it. And I learned that after the fact.
I don't think he said it the whole interview. I think he just talked to him about not tell me about the who's.
Yeah. I never said his name. And that's why I'll never forget.
Let's talk who's here.
And my contention has always been that Danny's asking who's here.
Which
so
is wrong.
He's asking.
So you started that, and Chad picked that up as if that's a legitimate theory. It is not. I'm clearly talking about UVA baseball or UVA, and I'm trying to like make hey, we're buds. Let's talk some who's, man. Fellow who's.
Hey, let's talk.
We're interested in the who's. That's what we're trying to do there.
When's the last time you referred to them on the show as who's? I think that was the only time ever.
I couldn't tell you if I
when they won
otherwise.
The national championship, were you going, just wanted to say shout out to Tony Bennett and the Who's on their big win last night a year ago, embarrassed by UMBC? I'm thinking,
hey,
if you listen closely.
Let's talk who's here.
Who's here?
I've always bought that theory, Grant. I've always thought
it's just
because
so wrong.
What people don't get is that Dar and I are on one side of the glass. Back when you guys were allowed to come into work, you guys would be on the other side of said glass. Danny looks down at the paper. You see him realize that there's no name there.
There's no name.
Says, we got it on the line. Hello. Very clearly, there is someone on the line. You're looking at the phone. You can see there's someone sitting there. And then he looks up, and it's like a slow pan to Dar and I right when he says, who's here? So I think that he's always tried to cover it up as saying
it's wrong.
That, oh, well, you know, everyone calls, you know, the Cavaliers the Who's. Everybody does. So I can double it up and look at Brendan and Thom, and hopefully someone will tell me in my ear what this guy's name is.
Who's here?
Yeah, who's here?
So my wife went to UVA, and, you know, we'll do that with my kid all the time. He's got a Virginia T-shirt, and, like, we teach him, like, let's go Who's and stuff. Even it's awkward because I didn't go there, okay? It would be disingenuous for me to come on the air and go, congrats to the Who's, like I had something to do with it. What people don't understand is it's douchier, it's worse what I actually did. So it doesn't make me look better. It's not like trying to salvage something where, like, I'm trying to pretend like I'm down with it. Like I'm an old UVA fan. Me and the boys know all about the Who's. Like, we're buds. Like, I'm an insider. It's more pathetic what I actually did. And you guys,
you're
are
on a message board each night.
Yeah.
You're talking about your favorite Who's of all time, Courtney Alexander.
Talking about the old school Who's. Like, it's more pathetic what I actually did. And you guys have perpetuated this who is there theory. And I don't know why I was so vigorously defended, because I don't look good either way.
Just real quick, I'll read some of the other wrong responses to what Danny was saying when Matt Williams cut him off. Our buddy Vegas Cab said, in your Barkley impression, oh, I'm so sorry. That's just terrible. I feel like a knucklehead.
I saw you broke up with your fiance. I hope it was not acrimonious. I hope everybody fine. Oh, good Lord.
Wookie says, stage whisper, there are many data points that support this, but you get my point.
Oh, my God.
Rich and Olney says,
I'm so
wrong answer. Jeremy Maclin will dominate the NFC East. Mo says, wrong answer only. So do you want to hear my Yoda impression or nah? that might be my favorite.
Oh, Talking come on.
Pete Upton? I am.
Mm. How do you have it right there?
God, do it, I will. So
shut up.
Talking to Kate Upton? I am.
Oh, I hate it. I hate it.
My least favorite part of that clip is how, like,
it's Holden.
She tries to sound when she laughs. No, you said it's Holden.
It's Holden, right?
Where you, don't pull up. Yeah, Kate. Damn.
Yeah, you know
no,
you
it's
do.
Yoda. Do it now.
Do it.
Do it.
Do it. Do you think she laughs like that? It sounds like she's, like, trying to do, like, a hot laugh. Like,
No, she doesn't. But the part that I can't handle, I mean, obviously the awkwardness is terrible. But when Holden gives it, yeah, I know you do.
Yeah, you like that, don't you, Kate?
I liked it.
Yeah, I know you do.
Ah!
I know you do.
Oh, that one hurts.
That is cringeworthy.
I love that guy, and I miss him. But, man, is that tough. That one hurts.
Yeah, I know you
yeah,
do.
Oh, know that you
is cringe-inducing. Gylo says, wrong answer only. I'm telling you, Raiders of the Lost Ark is the greatest film of all time.
Oh,
Grant and Danny on the Fan. We will we'll talk about something going on in the sports world next. Right
here. Take
on
me
the
away.
Fan. G&D on 106.7 The Fan. Appreciate all the kind tweets so far this morning. You want to hit us up? Danny's at Funny Danny. I'm at Grant H. Paulson. And anytime you want to hop in on the show, you can give us a call at 800-636-1067. Danny, between Chris Bryant of the Cubs saying he feels unsafe and Mookie Betts of the Dodgers saying he's not confident baseball is going to get its act together, executives like Mike Rizzo in Washington, of course the Astros as well, canceling workouts already because of testing not being up to par, there is now major concern that Major League Baseball either won't start when it's supposed to on July 23rd with the Yankees and the Nationals at Nats Park. I, for the record, think they will play that day. But there's a lot of concern that the season won't be able to finish if they do start it. What's your level right now of nerves? You can go 1 to 10 on me. 10 maxed out. There's no chance they finish this season. 1 being they'll play 60 games in 66 days, and everyone will laugh about how worried we were. Where are you at on this season right now? Not just starting on time, but being completed.
5. And it's basically because of this opening weekend, whatever you want to call it, rollout of teams trying to get together and practice. Basically, you know, we got a couple weeks to go before the season starts, and the gross ineptitude and seeming surprise at some of the challenges and factors have not inspired a lot of confidence. You know, I mean, thoughtful protocols, you know, as best practice sort of methodology for, you know, quick and swift testing and information. And you've got a very small relative to the rest of the world population to track, to take care of, and to figure out how we can prevent any kind of flare up, outbreak, etc. And baseball failed in every one of those categories. In every way possible, they failed. Not individual teams necessarily, right? Like medical professionals with the Nationals or the Rockies or the Mets or whomever. They seem to be doing everything they possibly can, but the organization at large needed to do a lot more than they did to prepare for this, needed to have everything seamless if you want the sport back. And they didn't do that. They just kind of went, well, it's hard to get people to work on a holiday. I understand that it's very hard. We need this to be completely without wrinkle. The reason someone's not on a baseball field can't be because they don't know the results of a test. That can't be the reason.
July
it's got
to
be because they're actually sick.
To play?
Yeah.
You're getting players to show back up on July 1st. You didn't know July 4th was going to be a holiday. You didn't have a plan in place, a protocol for who's going to work and who isn't. And
you had no idea?
You need to have enough hands on deck to sort that out. This is not the first time July 4th was celebrated on the 4th of July.
We've been doing it for a minute.
This is not the first time that we knew that was going to be a holiday and that some people might not be at work to help these players get tested and get those results back in a timely manner. Now, this was Mike Rizzo talking yesterday as the Nats returned to work after having to shut their operation down on Monday at Nats Park.
We're going to see the results in a timely fashion. That's all we need, and that's what we have to have to ensure our players are protected. And I'm the caretaker for these guys. These are my guys. Their families are my families. The staff is my staff. And I couldn't live with myself if we went on haphazardly and didn't abide by the rules that is in their best interest.
I'll tell you what, Rizzo has come off looking really, really good. And I think we're finding a lot out about him during this pandemic. You know, when it comes to standing by Ryan Zimmerman and Joe Ross with a statement immediately. You know, whether it's, you know, some of the things that he came out and said in support of his players during the movement for social equality and the Black Lives Matter movement previously. And now you've seen with this testing issue, he didn't wait. He was the first guy to say, I'm shutting this down for my team. We're not putting anybody at risk. I don't care if we think that nobody's got COVID-19. You told us we'd have the tests back. We don't have the tests back. These guys are under my watch, and I'm making the call. And he went even further than that, Danny. He challenged MLB and the commissioner, who was upset with him, supposedly, via some reports, Rob Manfred, to basically say, if you can't do this, then we can't play. That there will 100%. Be no training camp. There will be no season. This was Rizzo yesterday as well on, you know, saying he wants all of this behind the Nationals, and he's hoping they don't have to do what he did on Monday again.
We're confident that, you know, after some early hiccups, that procedure is going to work smoother. We'll get a little rhythm going, and hopefully that we could turn around these tests and then make make prudent decisions about players' health. Well, we're going to proceed with caution, and if we don't have the information that we need, then we're not going to put players' health in jeopardy.
Exactly right. Exactly right. Again, this organizational part, right? The thing that needs to be, you've already got enough to, how am I trying to say this the right way? You've already got enough obstacles. It's already hard enough, okay? The reason that baseball doesn't happen or that a player's not on the field has to be the actual illness. It's got to be something like that. And that's already challenging enough to keep these guys healthy, and you're asking them to sacrifice and stay distant and everything else. It's already a big enough challenge. If you can't get your logistics down, you don't get to have a baseball season. He's 100% right.
You're going 5 out of 10 concern level.
Yes.
I'm up to a 6, I'd say. And it's not the positive tests. It is the inability of baseball to follow through on its plan here. And what has become glaringly obvious to me, and what I think is extremely evident, is that all of the weeks spent talking about money and trying to get a deal in place to play X number of games for X number of prorated dollars. All of that time should have been spent on whatever this COVID-19 procedure is that has not worked. Because the big problem baseball is going to have is when guys like Chris Bryant or Anthony Rizzo or Mookie Betts drop out and say, I'm going to be Nick Markakis or Ryan Zimmerman or Joe Ross. I wanted to play. I showed up. But you can't follow through on your end of the bargain, so I'm out. And that's going to be a massive dagger to the sport if that happens. I think we're another bad day away whenever it comes from that being the case. He's Danny. I'm Grant. You're listening to The Fan. We'll kick off our second hour with a list that came out on the best quarterbacks in the NFL going into 2020. Pat Mahomes is number one on anybody's list. Who ranks right behind him, though, at this point? Do we agree with this top 10? We'll go through it on D&D in a minute.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.